Hi, this is Mark Waid, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 325 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great as well. I'm podcasting, my favorite thing to do with one of my top, I'd say, 20 favorite people in the entire world.
Did someone just come in?
No, everybody's sleeping.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Todd, I'd mentioned to you a remark I had thought earlier in the day, and I decided not to tweet it. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but a lot of times some podcasts are falling off the list these days.
What?
Yes.
Has this one fallen off the list yet?
I never listen to a podcast I'm on.
I don't either.
Or I mean, me. You also not listen to a podcast that... What was that?
I said the ones that I'm on, not the ones you're on. Oh, I'd listen to those all day.
Right, I was going to say, you don't listen to the podcasts you're on, and you also don't listen to the podcasts that you're not on.
Right.
You and cover all the bases.
And anything you're on, I'm first to download. Right. I'm like, I need to see if he's talking bad about me.
I don't talk bad about anybody. I'm a nice guy and I like everyone, Todd. We've discussed this.
That is true. I heard I'm in the top 20.
Right. At least the top 20.
Woof. Like with a bullet.
Bullet's got your name on it. That's
Better be silver.
All right. Are you a werewolf?
I am. I'm a fighting werewolf.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. So we got some stuff to talk about here. And it's all about the future. 2017 is almost here. And most everything that we're going to be discussing in the news is stuff for 2017. What are the rest of the books for Free Comic Book Day? When is Greg Rucka's Black Magic coming out? How did the stars align that Mark Waid is going to write DC characters again? And
what?
Unfortunately, discussions of a book that's not going to get finished from DC, speaking of which.
That's never happened before.
Yet another weekend where there are no conventions, and I say no conventions, there's one convention, and we discussed it last week, and of course I'll mention it here again, because it is the holiday season, nobody wants to have a out-of-town travel arrangement over Christmas weekend, but all the publishers are having tons and tons of sales digitally, and we'll go into that, and we are going to speak about books that came out that we read this past week. Doctor Strange Punisher number 1, and Todd is going to discuss the two Christmas holiday books that he read last week, the DC Rebirth Holiday Special, and the Gwenpool, what was her thing called? Holiday Hullabaloo?
No, it was called a Holiday Special Merry Mix-Up.
We're also going to discuss what we're most looking forward to coming out this week. We're going to talk about our question from this past week, what you thought the best whatever of 2016 was. And we're also going to discuss at the very end of the show, I would say probably some heavy spoiler discussions of Rogue One, A Star Wars Tale. So let's get right into it with the news stuff, as I had mentioned. Free Comic Book Day, I think we talked an episode or two ago about the gold titles. Those are the big dealy titles from the big dealy publishers. This time, this is kind of the smaller publishers. And we had discussed Free Comic Book Day a lot in the past, where previews, Diamond has decided to limit the number of publishers that can submit books for a variety of reasons. But if you look at this list, it does not seem to be any less books than there have been in the past.
No, it doesn't. There seems to be quite a few.
Right, and of course the big publishers are doubling up on stuff. Dark Horse has a all-ages Buffy the High School Years Plants vs. Zombies flipbook. DC is having another top secret book, as is Marvel, but at least Marvel, we know their top secret book, is possibly Spider-Man related, as well as a Guardians of the Galaxy one. So Marvel has three books for Free Comic Book Day.
It's because they have a lot of movies coming out next year.
Yes. IDW is doing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing. Just looking over the list here again, there's going to be a tick thing from New England Press, and they do this, I think they did this last year, where the tick-free comic book day stuff has new material.
I think they did. I think they've done that a lot. That's like where most of the tick new material comes from, is like free comic day stuff.
And then, you know, other things like Monster High, which I understand is popular. Dragon Ball Z, Sonic the Hedgehog, Grimm Fairy Tales, all sorts of stuff like that. And there's this weird Street Fighter wrestling special that has me intrigued.
Hmm.
If our store gets a couple in stock, I might have to pick one up. But, I don't know, they're pushing wrestling as though people like that or something.
I know a few people who do. I know people who, you know, get out of it. But, hey, whatever if they can promote wrestling comics, and the history of wrestling comics has only been good. There has never been a bad wrestling comic. So I think the record is going to stand.
Oh, no, Todd. Up to this point, outside of the recent Boom Studios World Wrestling Entertainment comic book where the Shield break up over potato salad, I would say 99.9% of wrestling comics are horrible.
I heard they were all amazing.
Except for the one where the Ultimate Warrior kidnaps and strips Santa Claus naked. That one's really good. Other than that, the rest are terrible.
I think anyone that has the Ultimate Warrior's manifesto in really tiny letters in the letters pages, those are the ones you want.
D is for Distrucity!
Is that your Warrior impersonation?
I didn't really... Like, to do the Warrior impersonation, you've really got to blow out the speakers and, like, yell at the microphone, and I don't want to do that.
My impersonation of the Ultimate Warrior is cycling off. That's the only one I can do.
Wow! Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right. Rumors and innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff that we're talking about is the future. The March 2017 solicitations had come out. And one of the books that I was sad that was missing from the solicitations was Black Magic. We were informed that the Greg Rucka, Nicola Scott book would be returning in March. However, just this past week, both Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott said that they've decided to push the return date back to June instead of the, you know, or possibly some other time in the summer, because they do want it to be monthly. They don't want to have a new issue come out and then have to wait 2 months and do a bunch of skip months to get the next story arc out, which I applaud them for doing.
I do, too. Whatever you can do to get more out in a chunk, one big chunk, I think that helps your book, other than having it like, oh, okay, we're going to do it this month, and then, oh, we can't do it for another 2 months, and then again. And if you can get a chunk out, I think it works better to read a storyline that way, and it helps a lot.
Right, which is why the proliferation of so many people who wait for the trades for stuff like that, when they either know it's a story that's kind of already been established as such, or they know it's a creator who typically the stuff doesn't come out month to month to month, perhaps that's why so many people have decided to wait for the trade.
Probably.
Right. Speaking of things that make no sense in the March previews, Marvel has a trade solicited. Well, first of all, it's a $35 trade.
Oof.
With no writer, no artist, no cover, doesn't tell you what's being collected in the trade, and then it says, find out what's in store for the Marvel Universe in this definitive prelude to the next top secret event.
Wow. You know what? I'll take 10.
I am just sad that they didn't do that as like a one, like an oversized one shot that they can do multiple covers for, to really mess with the retailers to make sure that they have to order a certain amount of copies of X to get the correct covers of this thing that we're not going to tell you what it is, who it's written by, or what it's about.
I'm looking at dates now, because they said that's the March. I thought maybe April 1st was the one, a Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
And this was an April Fool's joke. But, man, that's not a whole lot of information to order stuff. But, once again, with final order cutoffs, you know, it's past a certain date that you can change these things. So we'll probably have more information before like retailers have to lock down whatever they're ordering.
I certainly hope so.
It's gotta, because I'm not sure what the final order cutoffs are and when they are, but I know I see a lot of creators counting down. Like Ed Brubaker is one of them on Twitter. He'll be like, oh, well, my Kill or Be Killed, the final order cutoff for this issue. And I'm like, oh, that was out, like, you know, that was in the previews a while back. But he's like, yes, this is the final day. You can up your numbers or down your numbers to whatever you want. So, no one's going to order that trade. No one, only a true Marvel Zombie's going to go, I need one of those. But retailers are going to go, unless somebody orders this redacted book, you know, how am I going to order these for the shop?
Oh, you know, that's what they should have did. They should have called it Redacted.
Mm-hmm.
Redacted Prelude, Redacted Artist, et cetera, et cetera. Just to kind of, like, push that button, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Missed opportunity again, Marvel.
How come that DC and Marvel aren't calling us? We should be on their speed dials. Their Rolodex, at least.
I do get an unknown call from a 203 area code every day that I don't answer. Maybe I should start answering that.
That's probably Marvel / DC. They want to team up, and they want it to be a Long Box Heroes exclusive.
Want to get into a bidding war over us?
Oh, bring it. Rain the money down. Rain it down.
Oh, boy. So it'll be interesting to see what that actually ends up being, what creators are involved. And if that Wonder Woman Justice League trade solicited last month actually comes out.
That's coming out. Let's not get our bets ahead of each other. We're still working on Deadpool Golden Globe, so.
Speaking of which, let me see if we could do a exclusive here on the show.
Oh, hard-hitting news are we doing?
Speaking of bets. All right. I was hoping that the official list for what is going to be in stores for the 28th of December was up on Preview's website, but the official list is not up yet.
Mm-hmm. We'll know as this episode drops.
Right. We'll know tomorrow morning what the result of that bet is, whether or not I'm going to have to watch a Raiders allegedly playoff game.
Not allegedly. They have punched their ticket into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. First time since 2002.
They're making them pay to get into the playoffs. You would think they would comp them some tickets. They're in the game.
Oh boy. Listen to you. I hate you sometimes.
Well, listen, I'm just saying. If a guy's wrestling on a show, they at least don't make him pay. Well, that's not entirely
Yeah, that's right.
That's not entirely true. All right. Touche. I'm just glad to see that they're making these guys pay their fair share, even in the biggest sport of them all, professional wrestling.
Oh, God. Sport.
So, next week we'll have the results of that Civil War thing. One of the other books, not an official date, but DC and Archie are going to be doing a bunch of crossovery books. We had discussed a couple of them last week. There is talk of them doing a Batman 66 meets Archie, and a Betty, Veronica, and Harley Quinn book. Now, this is just rumors and speculation, but also rumors and speculation that writing the Batman 66 meets Archie book could very well be Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm.
Who is banned from DC?
I don't know if he's banned, but I think... I think they gave him a stern warning not to show up at the door.
He's got a very tenuous relationship with the higher-ups at DC.
Mm-hmm. Him and Didio have nuclear heat.
Yes, brother.
Brother.
But again, they do. I guess there was another writer, Andy Mangeles, who for Dynamite is writing the Wonder Woman 77 Bionic Woman crossover. And I guess he had some issues with DC in the past. I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure what that is. He's not as sexy as a name as your Mark Waids of the world.
No, and Mark Waid is sexy, but yeah, I don't know what the beef was, what happened, any of that stuff.
I'm just looking this up to see if there's anything I could find.
Yeah, I don't know. But I would read a Mark Waid Archie / Batman 66 book, especially if they fought Egghead.
Oh, get a little Vincent Price action in there? Or do you think Jughead would try to eat Egghead?
That would be fantastic. And the Contessa. All those. Zsa Zsa Gabor died too, by the way.
Oh, I know. I saw that. I saw Rich Grimmel tweeted at us that there's only, like, what, 8 remaining alive people from the Batman 66 villains left?
That's right. The one true Riddler, John Astin, is still alive.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Harry Anderson's father on Night Court.
I was going to say before. Harry Anderson's father, sure.
Right.
Many great roles that he's played. I'm just trying to look up... Yeah, I'm not finding why this Andy Mangeles was banned from DC, but again, the Mark Waid thing is a little bit more public, of course. I would read a Mark Waid written pretty much anything, and a Batman 66 meets Archie with that sort of run, you know, that sort of era of the Archie characters written by Mark Waid will be very interesting, especially how good of a job Mark Waid is doing on the current version of Archie.
I don't know if he'd be able to get the true, like, persona of the Batman 66 characters. He doesn't seem like a guy who likes that. He probably likes the new Batman and Superman in the movies, you know? But yeah, I would totally read the heck out of that. That's Archie's, like, firing on all cylinders right now, so...
Oh, yeah.
Like, they say Mark Waid, Batman 66, Archie's. He does the Bat-2-see, the sugar. It's like money. Just a license to print money.
So the last bit of news that we're going to discuss is a book that was canceled recently by DC, and it was a book called The Legend of Wonder Woman, which was created by, written and drawn by the husband-wife team of Renee DeLiz and Ray Dillon. They took to social media this past week talking about how they were informed by DC that the book was being canceled. Of course, they were planning on, you know, obviously it's Wonder Woman, it's a big project, of course, with the movie coming up. And with the book being canceled, of course, they were out some money. They did a GoFundMe page. Of course, you could find that information online if you so see to contribute to that. But apparently, there's been a lot of controversy over why the book was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Questions as to whether or not sales were an issue, questions to whether or not they spoke out about it and deleted some tweets. There was a lot of concern in regards to what this was. And then DeLiz came out recently saying that that it wasn't sales, it wasn't the tweets, it wasn't anything. They still give no reason as to why the book was being canceled. They're still doing books for both IDW and Marvel. I guess her own created book, create a character book, Lady Power Punch, is still being published. It got picked up by IDW. So, again, there's still controversy as to exactly, like, no one knows why this book really got canceled. It's a lot of rumors and innuendo, as they would say, do.
I don't know what that means, but okay. But I look at it as I'm wondering if it's all like a perfect storm of all these things, sales, you know, the deleted tweets that they, you know, maybe they said something about them and like, you know, not being A-lister creators. So you're not going to be able to get away with that as easy. I don't know. That's what it seems like to me, is that there's no one definitive thing, but it's a perfect storm of all these things. And, you know, that's sometimes the, you know, life's unfair and the book doesn't get made. That's, I guess, what happens. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's very questionable as to what this is about. It definitely seems like everyone is trying to put a positive spin on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they, while working for IDW and Marvel, would like to work for DC again in the future.
Who wouldn't?
But, and I'm sure DC doesn't need any bad publicity, of course. They do their best to skirt that sort of stuff. But, I don't know. I definitely think there was something that DC did not like that they said. And whether they said it or not, if the boss perceives that you are not with the team, it's their team and they can make the final decision at the end of the day.
Pretty much. That's the way I look at it.
Right. Which stinks, but it's the way of the world. Doesn't matter what industry you're in, doesn't matter what business you're in, most jobs, unless you are self-employed, you are work for hire. And the person who is hiring you to do that work, more or less, can, unless you have some sort of contract, and a lot of freelance people, especially in the world of comic books, are work for hire. And if they decide they do not want to hire you or continue to hire you for whatever project it is, that is of their discretion.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's one of those exclusive contracts is very coveted, because if you get one, I'm pretty sure they throw health care and insurance in there. But for as long as that exclusive contract is, they have to pay you whether they have a script for you or not. Like if you're going to write a book or draw a book and they're like, oh, well, we don't have a room on the slate for what you're doing, you still get paid. But work for hire is, you know, very cutthroat and, you know, it's month to month sometimes.
Right, and a lot of times, and, you know, I listening to the number of podcasts that I do, different comedians and stuff, it's not so much these days, but it used to be back in the 80s and 90s, where a studio or a agent or whomever, whoever it was, will give you will sign you to an exclusive contract. And it's less for you to work for them, but it's more so you don't go work for someone else.
Right.
And that's what a lot of it is at least with Marvel or DC or one of these other companies that give out these contracts. If they're giving you a contract, you're going to work. But, you know, there's stories of people in all sorts of other lines of media that get a contract and are essentially paid to sit home and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't want you going to the competition.
Or sometimes you pay someone to sit home and you steal their bits. That's a whole nother story.
There's actually, and again, it's funny you mentioned that because it was just the reason why that sort of stuff is so fresh in my head is there on Adam Carolla's podcast just yesterday, he had on this guy who he's a comedian. He was a writer on Roseanne back in the day named Rich Scheidner, where he was deciding to become just a writer for TV shows and movies. He was getting out of the stand-up comedy thing, and he just sold his act lock, stock, and barrel to Jeff Foxworthy. And, like, this isn't, like, a secret thing. Like, it was well-known, and he talks about, and I think we've even kind of talked about it here in the past, like, on past episodes of the show, when you get into, like, those times of, like, the vaudeville days in the 40s and 50s of comedy, even, where there would be guys who would just be like, I've stolen your act, I'm gonna pay you money, so you stop doing your act. Your act is mine.
Right.
Right. And then you get into like the 60s and 70s where you get your people like Bob Hope and stuff who would like very outwardly say, it's like, oh yeah, people write my jokes.
Well, that'll always be that way. Once you get more famous, you can hire people. I'm waiting for the day somebody pays us to steal our shtick and we could just sit home and do nothing.
I don't know how they're gonna steal our shtick, Todd. It's a little, you know.
Hey, we have a niche, okay?
I guess. I don't know.
We definitely have carved out our place in the podcast world. And I bet you there's a lot of young, hungry up-and-comers who would gladly pay us to get the exposure that we've had. I've been exposed many times.
Let's keep that under your hat there, sir.
Okay.
So I think that covers the news. Again, as I mentioned last week, there are technically no conventions this weekend. And by technically, I mean, there is one convention this weekend, just on Sunday, in Canada. It is the Toronto Comic Book Show. It's just the typical, you know, little show, no guests. They're claiming it's a Boxing Day bash. And it's not even us. I said it's on a Sunday. It's on a Monday, of all things.
I was just saying, because Sunday's Christmas.
Right, Sunday's Christmas proper.
Right.
So that's the only comic book convention this weekend. Enjoy.
Well, a lot of people have Monday off because Sunday's Christmas, so you have to get the free holiday from work.
Right. So you know how that is.
Yeah, it's all... But anyway...
So there are a bunch of stuff here available digitally for sale, and these are all sales that go to next week. So if you don't have money now and you get some money over the holidays, by all means, dip into this sort of thing. And Todd, I would be here all day if I attempted to go through the stars of things that are on these lists.
Okay.
Image has... I'm not going to say everything. Pretty much everything is half price. I would say up to, let's see here. Stuff with a cover date of a month ago and older, whether it be single issues or trades, are all on sale. Half off. Mm-hmm. Same goes for Dynamite. Everything. James Bond stuff, Pathfinder stuff, anything. It's the scope of these sales are just amazing. Marvel, it is over 350 trades.
Oh boy.
Are over 75% off. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. DC is doing a sale of their best of 2016 stuff. And that's stuff that was printed in 2016. Trades of stuff that was... It's a lot... It's whatever was traded in 2016.
Okay.
So it's Vertigo stuff. It's pre-Rebirth stuff. It's post-Rebirth stuff. There's a ton of DC stuff that's on sale. Boom, any of their original stuff, like not any of their properties that they purchased, all of that stuff is on sale. A lot of the stuff, it's like a lot of like, these are a lot of $4 books on sale for a buck.
Ooh.
Over 500 issues of Uncanny X-Men are on sale. And that includes such things as Days of Future Past, Mutant Massacre, Brood Saga, Dark Phoenix Saga, Fall of the Mutants, Inferno, so many classic X-Men storylines, like the entire run of the Chris Claremont era. All of this stuff is on sale, and it's just ridiculous. I love it. If you are a comic book fan, this is the time. You can get so much good stuff for cheap.
Sounds like a good deal.
Sounds like a great deal. Also, if you don't want to spend money on these great sales, there is some free stuff available through Marvel. War of Kings number one is available for free. Spider-Men number one, the first crossover between Peter Parker Spider-Man and Miles Morales Spider-Man, is on sale. Thanos Rising number one by the great Jason Aaron is on sale. It's for free. I mean, on sale. They're for free. And the first issue of Star Wars, the 70s comic from Marvel, is available for free as well.
Ooh. Classic issue.
Classic tune. So that covers all the freebies and sales and all that digital stuff. Before we get into what we read last week, I would be remiss not to mention the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. Almost all of the shows, we're back. Talking Gimmicks is going crazy. Julio's back, finally, after he's been missing in action for several weeks. They're talking about everything old and new in the world of professional wrestling. Profane Arguments is back this week. Prodigal Sons podcast. I listened to an episode. It hasn't been published yet, so I don't know what's going on over there. Prime Defective is new. Podvocacy is going to be coming out probably as you're listening to this. If it's not already out, it's their Christmas special. Puzzle Warriors 3, of course, and the triumphant return after being away for almost 3 months. Fresher and Parlance is back. Parlance thought he had a heart attack. Fresher has adult braces. So much has changed. Get caught up on all your favorite shows over soon-to-be-named-network.com.
Faker. I know what a real one's
like. I know. Spoilers, everyone. Apparently, it was a reaction to the berries that he was using in his homemade wine.
Nah, to me, it was a reaction to the bacon clogged in my heart.
It was the reaction of the big man upstairs trying to tell you something.
Oh, he's telling me, come on home, son.
We need you for a greater purpose.
That's right. And I was like, wait, I have long box hero work to do. I'm not ready yet.
Oh, if only you knew the future, because it wasn't long box heroes then.
Oh, my goodness. That is true.
It was something else.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. I changed my memories.
All right. So,
but anyway.
You kick things off. What are we discussing first? We discussing the Gwenpool holiday mix-up, or are we talking the DC Rebirth holiday special?
I think we're going to talk the DC Rebirth holiday special, only because it has the hefty price tag of $9.99.
Well, it says it's 96 pages, so
that is worth it.
I don't know, thrice the price.
Right. Square bound, fantastic. Basically, this has a Paul Dini, Harley Quinn, I want to say bookends, but it's more like in all through the book. She introduces stuff as it goes on. Basically, they were going to have a Task Force X Christmas party, but the budget ran out for their holiday stuff at St. Paddy's Day when they drank all the money away. And so they decided to have one of those Christmas holiday specials where people who basically only have brief knowledge of each other seem like they know each other at Christmas parties. So I found that amusing. And then in between is, you know, a bunch of random like Christmas or Hanukkah stories and New Year's Eve one. And there are a bunch of them. So, but I'm just going to talk about the ones that pop out to me. One of them was Flash discussing, telling someone the story of why him and the Rogues have a Christmas truce every year. And I thought that one was really good. Has a lot to do with, you know, this charity thing that delivered Christmas presents to homeless kids or people in foster homes. And the battle that they have throws that off. And even the Rogues, you know, who, you know, had a rough life or like, you know, maybe we should ease off one time a year. I thought that was really nice. There's a Superman story where Superman has to try and find a gift for his son on Christmas. But guess what? Superman's job takes up too much time, so he may not get it in time to get his, you know, son the gift he wants. But the king of all stories in this was The Night We Saved Christmas with Batman and Detective Chimp by Heath Corson and Gustav Darte.
That's hey, the I know saying. Those guys.
They did the Bizarro miniseries?
Yeah.
$9.99 is worth it for this story alone. Basically, someone has stolen a mall Santa's dog, and they have taken it to Gotham City, so Detective Chimp has to fly from California, I guess, and go to Gotham City where it's being sold, and he hooks up with Batman. And if you like Jimmy Olsen and Bizarro, you are going to love Detective Chimp and Batman. It is hysterical, looks beautiful, and might be one of my new all-time favorite Christmas stories.
Wow, amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wish they just... I now want a Batman, Detective Chimp, Jimmy Olsen, Bizarro crossover. This needs to happen.
Well, you could make it happen. They're calling you on the phone, right?
I think my phone is ringing right now, but I can't take it in the middle of the show. This is one of those books that if I had brought to the shop today, because we met up, long story short, I should have given you to read this story, because I know $9.99 is a lot to ask for one story, but there's no way you wouldn't love this. So at some point I'm dropping this off for you just to read.
Fair enough. Now, this is one of those things, with especially with such a hefty price tag. Mm-hmm. I wish that the bigger companies would maybe, like, release the smaller stories as, like, digital one-shots for, like, 99 cents, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just like, hey, you may not want to spend $10 to read this 8-page story, but we'll get a buck out of you for it.
That's a brilliant way to do it. I was actually thinking that, too. Or something like this with the Detective Chimp or Batman would be great in a Bizarro trade paperback as a bonus story.
There you go.
Stuff like that. So, and the Flash stuff maybe in a Flash annual or something. I'm with you. I totally think that for people like me, I'm going to pay the $9. I have no problem. But, like, you just want to read that little story. That's a hefty price tag to get all those other stories.
Absolutely.
And there was a Teen Titans story where they fight a modern-day version of the Ding Dong Daddy. So they need to do that more.
So this one sounds like it was good.
Yeah, I love my holiday specials.
Well, speaking of which, you also read the Gwenpool Holiday Special Merry Mix-Up.
Right.
Now, are you familiar or were you familiar with Gwenpool before this?
I know nothing about Gwenpool.
Okay. Now, I will say this. Marvel's website is doing a real good job of not telling you who the writers of this book is.
Well, there's multiple writers.
Right. They tell you who the multiple artists are.
Okay.
But there's no credited writers.
Well, that's the other thing I like about holiday specials. A lot of these are tryout stories for people who don't, you know what I mean? Who are lesser names, but this one I don't recognize a lot of the writers. Christopher Hastings is one of them. Ryan North is one. Carla Pacheco and Nick Kocher is another writer. So I don't recognize Pacheco. I'm wondering if Carla's any relation to Carlos, but
I know
who knows.
Christopher Hastings writes the current ongoing Gwenpool book. He got fame over a book, maybe a webcomic, entitled The Adventures of Dr. McNinja.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Noth does the Squirrel Girl book, and I think he took over Jughead for Chip Zdarsky.
Okay.
So basically, these are comedy, you know, writing people.
Right. This is basically a bunch of different stories, but it starts out that Gwenpool apparently is from another universe or alternate Earth or something. So on here, she's trying to figure out, she's like, are your Christmas the same as mine? And for some reason, it's not in the Marvel Universe. Santa Claus is Galactus here for some reason.
Okay.
Also, there is a Pantsgiving where it was an unseasonably hot winter, so everybody gave people hot pants, and that became a thing. There's also Night of the Scrolls, where you beat pinatas to find out which one hides the secret chocolate scroll. The Feast of the Fish, where Namor fed people with fish from the ocean. And you're finding out that, like, something's wrong. She's like, I don't know why you would have all these different holidays. So she goes off through a series of like a Christmas Carol where it warns you one thing you shouldn't do on Christmas is go to the North Pole, and she does. But while that's going on, they tell the stories of some of the holidays that aren't real. Like Miles Morales as Spider-Man has to fight all these villains, Fing Fang Foom, MODOK, Red Skull, Thanos, and get some help from Galactus / Santa Claus. Then there's a story about Pantsgiving where Fing Fang Foom, because he wears little pants, he's going to promote Pantsgiving, which is fun. But the best story in this one is the Red Skull Christmas story. Which isn't so much a Christmas story, is when he gets all these groups of terror organizations together and he finds out that he can't say Hail Hydra anymore. He has to say Hail Hate because it's off-putting to some of the lesser denominations of terrorists who find it like they feel like they're being brushed out by Hail Hydra. And he goes around trying to find out who complained and everything, and how, you know, Hail Hydra was important to him when him and Hitler stole a Zeppelin as in A Young Adventure. And he wants to bring back Hail Hydra. Why is there a war on Hail Hydra? And it's as funny as I think I'm making it sound. It's fantastic.
It does sound enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And then in the end, we find out why the holidays are different. And, you know, spoiler alert, everything goes back to normal at the end.
Are you telling me that a one-off of a comedy joke character has zero repercussions?
Yes. And then at the end, which I didn't so much read, for no reason, Deadpool shows up and says, I'm hijacking this holiday, Christmas holiday special, and I'm doing a Deadpool Halloween story, deal with it, and that happens.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's fun. I preferred the DC holiday special more, but the Red Skull the War on Hail Hydra is fantastic.
It's pretty inspired, I'll give you that. So, my book that I read from this past week that I was most looking forward to was Doctor Strange Punisher Magic Bullets number 1, written by John Barber, not that John Barber, and art by Andrea Brocadaro. So, this one appealed to me mostly because of these two characters' interactions that they had in the Jason Aaron crossover event from a couple years ago, Original Sin. Now, I'm not currently reading The Punisher, so I'm not really sure where this version of The Punisher lines up with that version of The Punisher, but this version of Doctor Strange absolutely lines up with the current version of Doctor Strange, where magic is gone in the Marvel Universe, and any of the magic that's left is in, like, artifacts or things of that nature, right?
Okay.
So, Punisher is doing Punisher things. He gets a tip from some stoolie that there's crime families moving at this one place, so he, of course, goes in, attempts to take business, he chases some people off, opens up a door, and the Punisher is aghast by what he sees. Cut to Doctor Strange coming back from an adventure where he's beaten up, taken care of, because of course he's still getting acclimated to this new world where he's a magic user but does not have any magic. Punisher shows up at his door and says, hey, these mafia-type people have what look to be magic creatures in their basement. You need to stop them so I could kill them. And there's your story.
Sounds plain and simple.
It is. It's plain and simple. I was not blown away by this, but it's definitely very enjoyable. The banter between the two characters, and I hate the word banter, but there it is. The banter between the two characters is enjoyable. Frank is not quippy in a funny way, but he's definitely very...
fish out of water?
I wouldn't say fish out of water. He doesn't want to have to deal with Doctor Strange, but is put into a situation where he doesn't know how to take care of monsters and magical type things.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows someone who does, so that's who he goes and, you know, gets the assistance from. Begrudgingly, of course, Punisher's a loner, he doesn't have any friends, etc., etc. And they show up, and again, spoilers, I guess, for a book that was already printed digitally, but they show up and whatever was living in this basement have now possessed the mobsters. And there's your cliffhanger for the first issue.
Gotcha. So it's more of an Odd Couple out of water.
Yes.
Okay.
And obviously the Punisher wants to kill people. Doctor Strange says, no, you can't kill people, which is more or less like every single Punisher crossover in the history of Punisher crossovers.
Right. Unless he's teaming up with another murderer. They're trying to shut him down on that.
Exactly. Like, he teams up with Deadpool and they fight over who got to kill the person, where he teams up with everybody else and they're like, don't kill that person.
Right.
But it was still enjoyable. I liked it. It's a miniseries, so I'll stick with it.
Cool. Magic and bullets. You gotta love it.
That's right. Magical bullets, even.
Oof.
No one in the book, no one in the book says, you're a wizard, Frank.
Oh, or what about Steven?
You're a wizard, Steven.
That's right.
You'll learn more about wizards and Steven and Doctor Who when you listen to After Dark this week.
What?
Right. Where we discuss what we had to watch for the other Christmas. Mine was a secret, but if you're a wrestling fan and you know old wrestling and Christmas stuff, you probably guessed what I made Todd watch. And Todd made me watch the 2010 Doctor Who Christmas Carol. We discussed those things. And also the opening of The Gifts are over on After Dark this week.
That's right. You're going to have to hitch a ride over there and see what we got each other.
That's right. You'll have to wait till Friday to hear that.
I can't wait to see what you got me.
Me neither. I can't wait to see what I got you either.
Oh, I hope I enjoy it.
I'm not allowed to wrap gifts in this house.
And my wrapping is very special.
Right. So that's what we reread from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday evening, today was a little bit later, but usually around 5:30 Eastern Standard Time or so, we put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them in trade, whether you get them digitally, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, especially this holiday season. If you're waiting on something to get for someone else, know that it came out this week, or if it came out last week, or like Civil War II number 8 won't be coming out next week either.
Definitely coming out next week. Definitely.
So Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out each week. Todd has the one lead over me. There are only 2 weeks left in the year, so we'll see how this all ends up. I started the show, so I guess first. I'm looking at your list, and I'm guessing that the book you're most looking forward to coming out this week is Justice League vs. Suicide Squad number 1.
Yes, it is.
Booyah!
Wow.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling.
You got a feeling deep
inside. Oh, yeah.
Is the book you're looking forward to most coming out next week The Fix number 7?
It is The Fix number 7, yes.
Oh, boy.
Seems like The Fix has been off a couple months here, and I'm very happy to see it return. Especially when I don't see it on the solicitations for March, so I guess they're taking a little bit of a break there.
That's right. That's he might have to need some downtime after the inauguration.
Oh. No comment. If you're a big Ted Nugent fan. So let's get into our question before we get to the final part of the episode. Our question from this past week was best comic thing of 2016. And this was just anything really comic book related. Whatever it was that, you know, if it was an actual comic book, a TV show, whatever it was, you let us know. What it was, we did have a couple suggestions from some of our listeners. Mark Cole mentioned the Tom King Vision book. Stiff Peg Pete mentioned the Doctor Strange movie. And famous professional wrestler Icarus mentioned the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool film. I say, what does he know? He's been hexed for the better part of several months. His thinking's been a little questionable, if you ask me.
I'm guessing his answer is the same as your answer, though.
The Ryan Reynolds thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That seems right up your alley.
Now, for me, as much as I read comic books, as much as I've watched a lot more TV comic book related stuff this year than I have in years past, of course, with Legend of Tomorrow and Flash and Outcast and Walking Dead and all this other stuff, I have to agree with Stiff Peg Pete and say the thing that I enjoyed most, the best 2016 comic book thing, was the Doctor Strange movie.
Hmm.
I love the Doctor Strange movie. It has not been since Guardians of the Galaxy, where I saw Guardians of the Galaxy and I wanted to just watch it again. And Doctor Strange, and again, I think when we did our rankings, it might have been toward like the middle of the list, but it was one of those things where I saw it, and I'm like, I need to see that movie again, but in 3D.
Right. And did you?
No.
Okay.
Listen, Todd, Sing isn't going to see itself this week.
That's right. That movie looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you, Todd? What was your best comic thing of 2016?
Like you, my best thing of 2016 was a Marvel movie. But it was Civil War, Captain America Civil War.
Oh, okay.
That one was so fun. That was so big and so fun and so over the top. You know, it had Spider-Man in it. It had Ant-Man, who, spoiler alert, turns into Giant-Man. But all in that, I just love Steve Rogers' Captain America. And I thought I wasn't going to like it because, you know, Tony was going to be in it. And it seemed to change from what it was after Winter Soldier. But in the end, I thoroughly did enjoy Civil War.
I can't disagree with you, but I did. I enjoyed Civil War quite a bit, but if you told me I have to watch one right now, what one would I prefer? I would pick Doctor Strange.
I would pick Civil War.
Well, there you go.
We're having a Civil War on the show right now, and Civil War 2 comes out next week. So
allegedly. Civil War 2 number 8, allegedly.
No, allegedly. When it comes out, be ready.
Listen, I'll have my Bo Jackson throwback jersey on. Is that...
Wow. That is actually a thing.
Right.
You nailed one. And if I lose, I'll have my Regal Ruckus, you know, shirt on, ready to go.
Regal Ruckus, sure.
That's right. That's what you want me to watch, right? The Regal Ruckus?
No, but yes.
Okay.
So we'll see. Well, you know what? We're a little bit later in the show. I'm going to give it one last whirl. Let's see.
Come on, Regal Ruckus.
Nope. The full list for the 28th is not up yet.
Oh, well. We'll discuss on next week's show.
Yes, we will. All right. So we're going to bid you adieu for this part of the show.
What's next week's question?
Oh, next week's question. Thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. Next week's question is, what is the thing that you're most looking forward to comic book related in 2017?
The ramifications of Civil War 2 Bowl.
The ramifications. Listen, I'll enjoy...
me enjoying a football game?
Right, listen, I want to be there when you enjoy those nachos enjoying that football game.
Wow, okay.
Are you going to have nachos?
We can have whatever you want.
Oh, I get to pick the menu?
Oh, well, we'll probably go out somewhere to watch the game.
Now listen, if I could sway your I don't know how much control you have or don't have or claim to have over the shipping of books, Todd.
Right.
You know, if Civil War 2 number 8 doesn't come out next week.
Right.
And you have to come to my house to watch the Royal Rumble.
I don't know what that is.
The, was it, what would you call it? The
Regal Ruckus?
The Regal Ruckus.
Right.
You know, I would probably get pizza for us to eat.
Oh, what kind of pizza?
The delicious onion pizza that you love so much.
Oh, well, I would even bring some steak and cheese pizza. Well, who knows? There's a Ryan Reynolds bet on the table. So that...
Oh, that's right. The Golden Globes bet. We don't have steaks on that one yet.
Well, we don't have our steak dinner yet either, but this is what's going to happen, because I've decided we're going to let this bet play out. Next week, we'll know. There's
okay.
No way. Then after that, we can make the stakes for the next bet, because I don't want to be getting too far ahead because we were doing double or nothing. I think each bet, the ramifications should happen. You shouldn't have an out. Do you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So we're going to roll that, and then I think that after that, like, the Golden Globes are, like, January 8th or whatever. So we'll have time to make the bet on that one. And then after that, we'll have time to make the bet on the Wonder Woman trade. And as we go, I see us making a lot of wagers because one of us has a gambling problem.
And the other one is attempting to facilitate it.
That's right. You're an enabler.
I'm an enabler. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... that was the main part of episode 325, Long Box Heroes. We'll catch you all here next week. We're going to get into deep discussion, I would assume, regarding Rogue One, a story about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd, I saw you send out a tweet about the Rogue One.
Spoiler filled, I bet.
And how you said you were going to save whatever your feelings were for the show.
Right.
Where is he? Oh, nothing makes me happier than reading your tweets.
Oh, did I say something funny?
You're always saying jokes, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It was early three-word review was not enough Gungans.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest you're going to save for the show.
Right. I thoroughly enjoyed Star Wars Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the first act was a bit choppy, where it was like, all right, we're on this planet, now we're going here, like, trying to acclimate myself to, like, in the end, I really don't remember, I remember characters, but I don't remember names. I don't know if that's just because I'm getting older, or, like as a kid, I was like, that's Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon, and this is this, and this planet, Daddy. And someday I'll have to tell you the story about my father taking me to see Star Wars as a kid. But when it was his turn. But, you know, that being aside, I really don't know a lot of the characters' names. But when you get to the third act, the closing act, and everything goes completely sideways, I was blown away. I was completely blown away and how it ends. And I was like, all right, I'm very happy with this. This is really pretty much Star Wars episode 3.5. And I think, you know, it's up there with some of the best Star Wars movies that we've seen.
So, for me, you know, obviously, the main crux of this, if you have been living in a rock, much like me, under a rock, and you've been avoiding everything about this movie that you possibly can, which is very difficult, but when you live your life that way, it's easy to do. Your main character is Jyn Erso. Her father was coerced by the Empire to help create the Death Star. Through a series of events and mishaps and defectors and holograms, it is found out that he put the ductwork, the shaft thing,
the fatal flaw
in the Death Star. But you need the plans to exploit this. You get the plans, you get it to the rebels, they could blow up this massive device.
Mm-hmm.
And again, of course, a bunch of other things happen because it's a Star Wars movie. I'm with you. A lot of times, the only reason that I have such a breadth and depth of knowledge of some of these Star Wars characters is because when the Star Wars movies came out, there were action figures that I collected, there were books that I read. And then as I got older and was still into Star Wars, there were trading cards that I can get that would go into more detail about who these characters were and what their names were. Like, there are characters in this movie whose names are made-up nonsense that they say once and then never say again.
Right.
So if you don't know that Chirrut Imwe is Donnie Yen's character, you just know, oh, that's Donnie Yen.
Mm-hmm.
Or Saw Gerrera. Well, I'm like, okay, Saw Gerrera. I'm like, oh, that's Forrest Whitaker. Okay, Forrest Whitaker's in this movie. You know, wasn't things like that.
Wasn't he a wrestler, Saw Gerrera?
No, you're thinking of Bone Saw Gerrera.
Okay, Bone Saw Gerrera, yes. But yeah, go ahead.
So I knew next to nothing about this movie. I did see, because I did not get a chance to see this movie until Saturday night, I did see people cryptically tweeting and Facebooking and all sorts of things of like, boy, those first two acts are something to get through, but that third act more than makes up for it. Boy, howdy, blah, 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 you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for the rest of the world, Todd. I loved this movie from top to bottom.
Right.
I grew up on Star Wars. I like Star Wars a lot. But as I've become a nearly 40-year-old man, Star Wars does not define my life as much as it did, much like other things like The Simpsons or other things that I was into when I was younger. do not define who or what I am or whatever it is, but they are still part of me. Like, I don't listen to, say, Howard Stern as much as I did 4 or 5 years ago, but I'll never stop being a Howard Stern fan.
Mm-hmm.
However, I love this movie from top to bottom. Even the dumb things, Todd. Like,
there's
when
dumb things?
Oh, yes. So, the part at the beginning when they come to get, what's his face? Galen Erso.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do that little bit too long and loving shot of the blue milk that's on the table.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Okay.
I now, love that.
Early that happens, and I'm like, is this what we're going to get in the movie with all these, like, cameos and nods to everything else, right? No, but there was that scene when they were moving through the town and Jin bumps into Dr. Evazan and Pwn de Baba. I might have been the only person in the audience clapping. And Todd, you're going to say, I don't know who Dr. Evazan and Pwn de Baba are.
Stop it. Don't. No. No, this isn't wrestling crap. These were the guys from the Mos Eisley Cantina. Right. I wanted on 13 systems. I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
Right. I marked out. I was like,
all right, good. I wasn't the only one. I was the only one in my theater.
In my theater there was a slight pop. So,
so all those little nods like that. I thought the action was very good. I thought it looked like a very good film. And obviously we knew that this movie took place before what we now unfortunately have to call A New Hope. That movie is still Star Wars to me. It's just called Star Wars. The other one's called Empire Strikes Back. It's called, you know what I mean? They're not Star Wars A New Hope. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, right?
Let me guess. You're the guy who says it's not Raiders. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark, not Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Correct.
Okay, just checking.
That's the incorrect title of the film. However, I did not know how closely this movie happened to Star Wars.
A New Hope.
A New Hope. And Todd, I have no problem saying this. When I realized that the end of this movie literally is the beginning of A New Hope,
mm-hmm.
I may have shed a few tears.
I thought it was, as it started, there was a few moments where you start to figure it out.
Right.
And you're like, are they gonna? And then they do. And I'm like, this is really, it choked me up a little bit. I thought that was really cool.
And you could say, and people have said all this stuff, it's like, this is fan service. If you're 35 to 45 and you grew up on this movie, then of course you'll love this movie, but the movie itself, not so good. You have become a jaded person who hates things just to hate things.
Oh, boy.
Even I took Asa to see this, and I'd mentioned this to you briefly at the shop when I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
Asa did not want to see Force Awakens. And Force Awakens, I think, was kind of a little bit more of a kid-friendly movie because it was a soft reboot of A New Hope, essentially.
And all the greatest hits of the original trilogy.
Right, because it's like poetry, so it rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, hey, buddy, we're going to go see Force Awakens. Want to come with us? No, I don't want to go see Star Wars. Then it comes out on DVD and video, and we have it at home. Hey, buddy, want to watch Force Awakens? It's Star Wars. No, I don't want to see this. So we didn't think he was going to want to see this. And he kind of mm-hmm. hemmed and hawed a little bit. And then when it was the moment of truth, we're like, hey, buddy, we're going to see the movie. You want to go? And he's like, yes, I want to go see it. Now, granted, he fell asleep in the last 5 minutes, so he missed the part at the end where it ties directly into New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it would have had the same impact on him, because he's 5 and has never seen that movie.
I don't know. He might have inherited his love of Star Wars from his dad.
However, I will say, he loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was exciting. He thought it was cool. He thought the robots were cool. He thought the fights were cool. I thought some of the more, Bonesaw Guerrera's helpers were maybe going to freak him out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he was cool. And he was talking about it the next day. Monday, I was taking him to school. He was excited to talk to his friends at school to see if any of them had seen the movie. And we're like, all right, now we can watch the next one, which, as far as I'm concerned, is A New Hope. He is going to live an experience where he is going to get to watch what we currently have available to us as these films in the correct order in which they're supposed to be watched. Rogue One, New Hope, Empire, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens.
What, you're not going to give him the prequels?
If he's bad.
Oh, come on. You never know. A kid might like the prequels.
Nope.
Nope. All right. You're going to be that way. Well, I want to touch on a few things from the movie before we check out on this.
All right.
One, how were you about Grand Moff Tarkin being in the movie?
I'm cool with it. I thought it was awesome. People could say Uncanny Valley, blah, 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 all you want. I thought it was awesome.
Uncanny Valley?
Yes. Uncanny Valley is something that people refer to when they do. The best example I can give to you of that is, excuse me, Tom Hanks in the Polar Express.
Okay.
Where they try to make the CGI character look like the voice actor, and it just ends up looking creepy.
Okay, fair enough. I thought when it happened that they were just going to show him through the reflection of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, okay. And then he turned around, and this technology is getting really, really good. They used it in Civil War for young Tony Stark. They use it in Westworld to do a young Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
And it kind of freaks me out, but I think it's really cool. But I do think it worked better on Grand Moff than it did Princess Leia later. I thought the Princess Leia one was a little, there was something weird about it.
Well, we only got her for like a few seconds.
Right. So maybe it didn't give me a chance to get accustomed to it, maybe. Yeah. But that was interesting. I didn't mind it. I liked it. And it was cool to see Grand Moff Tarkin and how he was and everything. So I was cool with that. My second thing I want to talk about is a certain character shows up, a little character that people may like. I don't know. Darth Vader. When he shows up the first time, the one thing that I do have to say, and this is a complaint, a nitpick, but I understand what it is James Earl Jones has lost that baritone as he's getting older.
Yes.
Whereas when he was talking, and now this is supposed to take place right before A New Hope, and I'm like, wow, James sounds old. And then I went, oh, that's right, James is old.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of took me out of it for a second because you're used to that booming voice. And I was like, okay, I don't mind it, but he said some cool things about, like, don't choke on your aspirations. I was like, all right, Vader being a badass. All right, we're done with Vader then. I guess that was our cameo. And then, Joe, and then we see Vader cut loose the way Vader can cut loose. And I was like, one of the greatest villains in the history of all time. All time. And we finally got to see him do, because in the prequels, he doesn't show up until he does that great no scream.
Right.
And then, you know, with the New Hope to Jedi is, you know, the cinematography and the special effects aren't there yet. Where this is just a director knowing how to just, he's just mowing people down. And I'm like, this might be one of the greatest things I've ever seen in Star Wars. And then you throw out the whole thing is they're trying to get the plans through the door. And it cuts into that, you said, where it is in the movie and the last. And I'm like, that scene is brilliant, is amazing. I lost my mind over all that.
Yes.
But she should have said when she had the plans and they're like, what do you have? And she's like, we have hope. She should have said, we have a new hope.
Oh, man.
And somebody said, that's corny. That's too corny. I said, no, but it is yet another hope. It is a new one, because the whole through line was that's what a rebellion is about, hope. And it would give the name of the next movie. And I was like, I think you could have done it. I think you could have done it without people groaning. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'll let you go because I'm almost breathless with Darth Vader talk.
I thought the Darth Vader stuff was cool. I'm sad that Asa missed it, because I think he would have kind of, like, thought it was really cool and exciting again. But I think I could very easily at some point convince him to watch this film again.
Right. And give him a nap during the early bits.
Right.
Let him watch the end.
So yeah, like I said, I would put this movie below Empire.
Oh yes.
Empire's still top of the food chain. This is definitely, to me, number two.
Number two?
Yes.
Probably this, the same for me. I really enjoyed this movie. And I think it gives me a new hope that how Star Wars, that's right, how we can do Star Wars with new characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because up to this point, yeah, you had new characters in Force Awakens, but it was really a Han and Chewie-centric thing that kept that. They're like, hey, this is the bridge. You know what I mean? And now, other than C-3PO and R2-D2 cameo, which was great, and Darth Vader and Grand Moff, it's like the movie really, you know, settles around brand all new characters. And the cool thing was, I like that they chose to murder everybody.
Yes, that was the other thing that I wanted to mention was the name of this movie could also be Star Wars, or Rogue One, a Star Wars story in which everyone dies. yeah.
Many did not see that coming. Many Bothans died for these plans.
Oh, boy. I'm glad they gave them all names. Oh.
Yes.
But no, yeah, that was an interesting twist that everyone died.
I don't want to, because you may not believe me. I was kind of going in. I think they're going to kill all of the ground crew on this because they mention, you know, like how many people died to get the plans. And then as it was going on, I'm like, please don't have them get away from a Death Star explosion twice in a ship. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, okay, but that was like, great choice for a Disney movie.
And I don't even know, was the rating on this?
What's going on, bro? What's up, Mojo?
You know what? I don't know, because it said Star Wars on it, so I really didn't check anything about it.
Right. Oh. Let me look. I'm going to guess it's PG-13.
And I like, somebody got to say the name of the movie.
Oh, like, yes, they got the titular line. They got to say there sure are a lot of Star Wars out here.
They sure aren't a lot of Rogue Ones out here.
Yes. It is PG-13, yes.
Oh, well, you took your kid?
Yes. He was accompanied by an adult-ish person.
I'm calling Child Services.
All right. and we didn't talk about K2SO. Reprogrammed Imperial droid.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yes. He was the one that I was the most saddest that died.
Oh, when he went down, I was like, oh.
Yep.
When he was going to give him a fresh one, that was the best.
And again, you know, obviously it's like, I think somebody else mentioned this, and I thought it while I was going on, and I'm like, okay, well, it took a little bit to catch up, but this was the movie that was the Star Wars movie, or the next science fiction-y movie, that was most inspired by the events of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know about that.
You've got, like...
Because...
Go ahead.
Because... Isn't Guardians of the Galaxy inspired by Star Wars? So you're like, you're really eating your own tail on this?
Yes, absolutely. But up until that point, no sci-fi movie had the sort of feel that Guardians of the Galaxy had.
Right, so then I don't think you get to say it that way, if it makes any sense. You know what I mean?
But you get what I'm saying.
Oh, I get what you're saying, but yes. It gives too much credit to Guardians of the Galaxy, who's just, I love James Gunn, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of fan service to the Star Wars movies. So.
Absolutely.
So you're kind of just, I think you should just take Guardians of the Galaxy right out of there and just go straight to this is the first movie, even over Force Awakens, that's more like the original Star Wars movies.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm trying to say? There's no reason to put Guardians of the Galaxy in there.
Gotcha.
I don't know. We're arguing. And also, you're not the worst parent I ever met. Someday I'll tell you the story of someone who brought a child, I would say Ace's age, and other children around that, to The Hangover 2. Was a good one to see.
I went to see the Eminem feature film 8 Mile on a Friday night at 9 o'clock show, where it was at our local large theater chain, where parents rolled a stroller with a sleeping baby into the section where wheelchair people are supposed to sit.
Well, that's where you put your sleeping babies for rap movies.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Anyway. I think we've covered everything.
I think we have covered all the Rogue news that is fit to print.
Yes. So, everyone, thanks for listening. This was episode 325 of Long Box Heroes. For Todd, this is Joe. We will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! I'm going to try that again. It's football pick time. Someone bumped the mute button.
Great, press the knob again. Ha ha!
So last week we got 9 correct. That's still pretty good. So let's get down to business. I think we only have 2 more weeks left. Yep.
Mistletoe. Oh, the mistletoe.
Everybody's in a very festive mood here. So who do you think is going to win? The Giants or the Eagles?
The Giants. Yes.
The Falcons or the Panthers? The Dolphins or a Buffalo? Nope. You have to say Dolphins or Buffalo.
Dolphins.
Redskins or a Bear?
Why?
This one or this one? Redskin, you have to say it. Chargers or the Browns?
This one.
Chargers?
They have the most elbow.
The Packers or the Vikings?
The Vikings.
A Titan or a Jaguar?
Jaguar.
A Jet or a Patriot?
Patriot.
A Colt or a Raider? A 49er or a Ram? A Buccaneer or a Saint?
Saint.
A Cardinal or a Seahawk? A Tiger or a Texan?
Texan.
A Raven or a Steeler? A Bronco or a Chief?
Chief.
And the last one, a Lion or a Cowboy?
Lion.
All right, those are our picks. Now, this is going, everyone's going to hear this tomorrow, right? Any other Christmas songs you wanted to sing?
Bye!
There you go. Catch you next week.